to Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse number 3. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's some pretty nice looking smiling faces. If everybody can see what I can see, this is pretty nice. Amen. There's some blessed people right here before me. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you. Let's go to the Word. Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse number 3. Let me read. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all the flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him. I tell you what, Jesus could be rough. He said, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Accept no man than that which is appointed you, or exact no more than that which is appointed you." And to the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." One more place in Scripture before I close my opening. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30. Just one verse there. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. My topic today, the commitment that will change your life. Commitment that will change your life. Amen. This message today is for me, and it's for you. I tell you, every one of us needs this message. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We're asking in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that your will, Lord, would be accomplished here today. Lord, I know that your word is already anointed. Lord, it is the Word of God. I pray that your anointing would also, Lord, be upon us. Lord, put words in my mouth, quicken my mind, and Lord, help us to receive it. Open our hearing, Lord, that we really would hear the Word of God, Lord, that we would, Lord, even receive what it is that the Word presents unto us today. Lord, I want your will Lord, in my life. And I pray your will to be done here today in each of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And the times of this ignorance, God's mercy is so great for so long. You know, this was written a long time ago. This was written way back in the days that Jesus Christ walked on the earth as a man. Amen. Way back then. Amen. There were people that were... Now, ignorant is not a dirty word. It's just not knowing. There are people during the time of Jesus Christ who did not know who he was. You see, if they would have known who he was, they would not have crucified him. They would not have did those things that they did. Had they known, they just did not know. And there are people in that day that were so religious that they were against Jesus Christ. Could you imagine being so religious that they were against what Jesus would say? It's beyond our carnal thinking. If you are thinking with a humanistic mindset, it's beyond your thinking. It's beyond what you can even comprehend in your mind. But yet in that day, there were people that did not know who Jesus was. And just like in that day, I believe that our day, that right now in our lives, in our community, in our families, in our neighborhoods, and perhaps even under the sound of my voice, or someone that will listen to a recording, well, maybe they know there is a God. There are many that are so religious, very committed to their practice of faith, and yet they may not know who Jesus really is. Amen. Praise the Lord. And to this, God gave a space. God gave, it says that he winked at it. He said, well, let's give him a chance. Let's give him an opportunity to know who I am. To know who Jesus really is. The greatest revelation that I have ever received in the entirety of my life is to know who Jesus is. Amen. He's not just a part of a Godhead. Jesus is the Godhead. Amen. He's not just one of a triune Godhead. Jesus is the Godhead. He is God manifested in flesh. He is the Almighty. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the one that put life in us. Amen. And by him I am sustained. I am able to breathe. I am able to live. I have life because Jesus allows me to have life. Amen. I'm alive because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I got at least one person agrees with me. Amen. Yes! I like that. Yes! I agree. Amen. Jesus is greater than my mind. And I've got a wild imagination. And I've read the back of the book. I know what it says. And God, I believe God's greatness, I'm going to be in for a really big surprise when I get there. Now, I have every intention of going to heaven, my friend. But my mind, in its current carnal state, even being anointed under the Holy Ghost, even having read the Bible, even knowing what the Bible says and the glory of it, I believe it will surpass even my wildest imagination. It will be greater than I could ever have conceived. Amen. And get this now. There is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. Amen. 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 And now I want to pause right there and kind of give you my thinking on that thought. Now, all of the angelic beings that are with God in heaven, that God created in His greatness, God put them there for His pleasure, for His reasoning, for His purpose. God made all of the angels that are in heaven. And in heaven, there are these angelic bodies, angelic creations that God created. And there's God. Other good stuff, but that's all the created beings, angels and God. Now, in Luke chapter 15, verse number 7 and 8, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let me pause there. Joy in heaven, in the presence of the angels. Amen. Over one sinner that repents, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. It is God that is shouting. It is God that is rejoicing. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is celebrating when one person repents. Amen. That would mean if today in this service, now I'll tell you right up ahead of time, today I'm going to try to get you to repent. I'm going to give you my message right up front. And if I am successful, and just one person out of this group of people that are here today, if just one person that is here today repents, asks God to forgive them, and turns from sin unto God, then God will be rejoicing in heaven. Amen. It will be God Himself that is rejoicing over this service today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me continue reading Luke chapter 15, verse number 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Verse 9, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. She had 10 pieces. She still got 9. One got misplaced. You'd think, oh, I got most of my money. I'm okay. No. She was worried about the one. Verse number 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. It is my goal today. It is my ambition to get God to celebrate today. Amen. To get one person to repent today. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see the parable of the lost sheep, Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 and 13, it says this. How think ye? What do you think about this story? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them is gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? If just one person, you know, we have prayer on Monday night at our church, and I would say most Monday nights, pray for the backsliders. Amen. Pray for those that have gone astray. It is just like this portion of Scripture. Verse number 13. Well, I think I read verse number 13 already. No? Okay, verse number 13. And if so be that he find it, I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. God is rejoicing when one person comes back to God. Amen. That is God's response to repentance, to somebody coming back to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin. You think, well, if most of the people are okay in God, then we're doing pretty good. But God is more interested in the one that has gone astray than he is than the 99 that didn't go astray. Or the lost coin, the lady still had 9 out of 10, but it was the one that was lost. She searched the house and lit a candle and swept everywhere and looked diligently until she found it. And then when she found the lost one, she was rejoicing and called her friends and celebrate with me, I found that which was lost. Consider this example. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse number 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, or the Galatians, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Awful, terrible, bad stuff. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, which ye that were sinners above all, or think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, or no, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Well, this may be disturbing to some, and it may be, you may think I'm wrong, but I think everybody should repent. I think there's times that just because we are human beings, just because we are carnal in our nature, because we're men and women or boys and girls, because we're humans, we fall short or don't measure up to the glory of God. And because we mess up, we that have messed up should repent. That's the answer to sin. It's if you mess up, don't keep messing up. Don't lay in the ditch. Don't wallow in the mud. Get up. Repent and return to God. Amen. Every one of us needs to have a walk and a relationship with God. All of us are sinners and lost without God. Least we repent. What think ye? What about someone who commits terrible atrocities? Well, I'm not a Hitler. I'm not a mass murderer. I'm not as bad as other people. I'm not so bad. What about gangs that take things by violence or war crimes? Or you just in your own imagination think of the worst conditions possible. Well, what about them? Yeah, they're sinners. That's what I think. But in the sight of God, what does God think? Sinners are sinners. If you don't obey God, guess what? You're a sinner. You don't have to be a mass murderer to be a sinner. If you come short of the glory of God, which all of us have come short of the glory of God, well then I need to repent. You and we need to repent. Now, repentance is not penance. It's not self-punishment. You know, I've seen the pictures of the people walking on their journey and they got a bare back and they're whipping themselves with a whip. There is nowhere in Bible, in the entirety of Scripture, that tells us to do that. It's just not biblical. It's just not in the Word of God. That is not what God is asking us to do. It's not penance. You don't have a price that you have to pay for your sin. It's God that already paid the price for our sin. Amen. In fact, if you wanted to, you would not be able. The price is too high. You can't buy this salvation. If you were a billionaire, you couldn't afford it. It's not for sale. Amen. And you can't get good enough without God to be right with Him. It takes repentance. Not penance. Repentance. Now, repentance, I've heard some people say about some other religion. I won't, and just recently someone said this to me. Oh, that's the best religion in the world. All I got to do is go there and confess and I'm good for the next week. I just go back the next Sunday, I confess and I'm good for another week. Best religion in the world. That's not Bible, my friend. It's not Bible. That's not what the Bible says. I am so glad we don't have a confession booth. I don't want to know all the bad stuff people do. What an awful idea that would be. Bring your wrong. Bring your repentance to God. That's between you and Jesus. Amen. It's called repentance. Amen. You see, it's not penance. It's not confession. It's repentance. Repentance is a repentant person now will confess sin to Jesus. But not all who confess sins have any intention of forsaking sins. There is a decision, a commitment, that when you make it before God, when you repent of your sins and you commit, God, by your help, I am going to do right with your help. Amen. When you ask God to forgive you, He will. He is faithful and just to forgive sins that are repented. Repentance is the act of one who has recognized their sinfulness and desires to change that direction. Amen. It's not that you've made everything right and that you're perfect all of a sudden. No, it's that I've decided to get God's help to live for Him. Amen. Repentance is turning away from sin and turning to God. I've heard ridiculous statements from people. You can only just imagine what the pastor hears from different people. I can't tell you all the details, but it's not pretty. Some people really are messed up. In fact, most people are messed up. Even if it's just in incorrect or unknowledgeable thinking. If you are thinking with your carnal mind, oh, I ain't so bad. Oh, I didn't murder anyone. Oh, I think I'm okay. Guess what? Your thinking is messed up. Because it's not right before God. Not because I say so. It's because we need Jesus to be right. We need God to forgive us our sins. Repentance and forgiveness. Confusion between the words repentance and forgiveness. Forgiveness, from the Greek, it has a meaning of to send away. That's forgiveness. God sends away a man's sins when he asks forgiveness. Repentance, in the Greek, it means to think differently. Reconsider. Due to compunction, regret, or sorrow for sins. To think differently. Repentance is a turning around from sin to God. Now, I've heard it before, the soldiers that march before the palace in England and London, they march one direction and the command is, repent! I don't know if I can even do it. But in one step, they turn around. Repent! I'm not going to do it again because I might fall down. I was playing touch football with the kids at Thanksgiving, and that ground is hard. I'm still trying to recover. And the kids won, by the way. Of course, but come on. The adults played the kids in touch football in my front yard. We didn't score any. They scored them all. It was fun, though. Repentance is turning around. It's not that you've got everything all figured out and you've solved all your problems and you're going on the straight and narrow and you've been, you know, it's not that you're made perfect right then. It's that I've made a decision. right now is the time for me to turn to God. Amen. Right now is the time that I'm asking God for His help, that You would forgive me of my sin. Amen. Turning around toward God. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, if you're thinking, well, this pastor must be talking to somebody else. No, I'm talking to every soul that breathes. Every person needs repentance. If God did not offer forgiveness, none of us could possibly be saved. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1 verse 9, the very next verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's God that does the good work within us. It's not me that gets good. It's I that want God. God changes me to be in His nature. Amen. Our own willingness to forgive others is a criteria for us to be forgiven. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. But if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, sometimes, in fact, many times, it takes God to change us that we can forgive. Amen. You know, if you just think in the carnal mind, man, I'm never going to forgive you. That's just Satan trying to bring you to hell. You hating somebody is not going to hurt them. It's going to hurt you. Let God heal me so that I can forgive them. That I may be forgiven. Isaiah 55 verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Repentance is a mental choice a person makes. A choice to forsake sin and serve God. It's a decision point. If you can do it, in fact, let me change that. Absolutely, for sure, positive, you can do it. See, God is not going to ask something of anyone that they can't do. God will only ask you to do what you can do. And God will do the impossible. The great things, the miraculous things, the spectacular things, He has reserved unto Himself. Amen. God asks us to do those things that we can do. And we are commanded to repent. So that tells me by Scripture that everyone has the ability to repent. Now, it could be a person could refuse to repent. That's possible. But I pray that's not so. I pray that every soul would want to be right with God. And that they really would. It's not, you don't have to, I don't even want to hear your confessions. In fact, I don't take confessions. I'm not a judge. I'm a pastor. Amen. And my job is to lead you to Jesus. Amen. Repentance is a change in life. A change of life. You see, we have to recognize. We have to have a recognition of sin. Sin is real. It is ultimately up to the person who sins to recognize his own, her own sinfulness, that we have come short of the glory of God, and that we have sinned. You have to admit it. Admission is required. It's needed. One who recognizes that he is a sinner, he must also realize that he needs to do something about that sinful condition. If I could fix you, I would. But I can't. It's not within my power. Daddy can't do it, and Mama can't do it. Your best friend can't do it. Your sin is on you. And our sinful condition needs to be realized. We need to recognize it. And it is that individual that has to get right with God. Amen. Pride is a common thing in our world today. It manipulates the person to justify themselves. Fosters a spirit of independence. Oh, I can do it on my own. You can't do this on your own. You can't pay for your sins on your own. You can't get right before God on your own. You see, all this is God that forgives sins. I can't do it. Only God can do it. Pride will say, oh, I don't need a preacher. Going to church is a crutch. No. I believe everybody needs preaching. Preachers need preaching. I need preaching. Amen. Everybody needs to hear the preached word of God. Amen. See, he realizes that he cannot save himself, but he needs a Savior, Jesus Christ. And it leaves us with a desire to be clean. A sinner sees himself as sinful, as dirty, and desires to be clean. Let me give you an example. And I try not to do it as much as I used to. And please forgive me if this is your practice. And there are some that still turn wrenches on engines. I've done it many times. Had it jacked up, crawled up underneath, and I'm taking the transmission loose, and I didn't get all the fluid out, so it spills out on the ground, and pretty soon it's leaking out over to where I am, and now my shoulder and my hands are dripping, and my shoulder's wet, and some of it got in my hair, and the dirt's falling down on me when I'm pulling on stuff, and I get out, you know, I'm celebrating. All right, I got it back in. Praise, you know, I'm all happy. But I get out from underneath the car, and I'm a wreck. My hair is nasty, and my clothes are dirty, and my hands are filthy. And my wife says, it's time to eat. You know, I was just out there underneath the car, and I'm absolutely filthy. I'm all celebrating. I just did something good. I'm feeling good about what was done. But if I'm going in the house to eat, it's pretty obvious I'm not ready to sit down at the table. If a person is out there living in the world and just doing what they do and living like a normal worldly person, if you are living without God and you are in this sinful state and you are dirty, you recognize it when you come to a clean place. Amen. hopefully you'd recognize that there's sin in your life when you come to the house of God. I'm hoping there's people today that are recognizing that I should have washed my hands before I sat down at the table. Maybe I should have took this dirty clothes off and put clean clothes on before I sat down to dinner. You know, it becomes very obvious when we come before God that we are not right without Him. There's nothing we can do in this human life to be right with God other than get right with God. Amen. It's the only thing that will make you clean. There's restitution. It's a desire to make things right for past wrongs. It's a effort to correct any hurts. It's an answer to problems that were before. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He was a rich guy, tax collector, and he climbed up into the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that day, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." I used to lead children's church, if you can't tell. "For I'm going to your house today." You know, Jesus saw that man, that short guy, the rich dude, fancy dress. He looked kind of out of place, climbed up into a sycamore tree. But the Lord called him down. You know what? People were talking bad about Jesus because he was going to the sinner's house. If he only knew who he was, he wouldn't be going over there. You know, Jesus don't think like everyone else thinks. Jesus is more interested in the one that would repent. Zacchaeus was so repentant. If I have done wrong, taken money from anybody unjustly, I'm going to give him four times back what I did wrong. And I'll tell you what. God will change us when we repent. Repentance is a commitment. It's not just, I did this and this and this and I'm sorry I did it. No. Genuine repentance is always marked by a strong commitment to Christian principles. You might not even know how to live right, but you can tell God with your help, "I want to live right from now on." Amen. "All the rest of the days of my life, Lord, I need your help." Amen. Luke chapter 3, verse number 8. "Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance." That means we're going to do things differently. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this self same thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort," what carefulness, someone say carefulness, "what carefulness is wrought in you, yea, what clearing," someone say clearing, "what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation," someone say indignation, "yea, what fear," someone say fear, "yea, what vehement desires," someone say desires, "yea, what zeal," someone say zeal, "yea, what Revenge. Somebody say revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. From that verse, it told us about carefulness, our earnestness. He will be careful in the way he lives, the repentant person. And he will very earnestly go about trying to learn how to live like the Bible teaches him to live. It's not that you're made perfect all at once. It's that you've begun the process to live right before God. You're going to do your best. And with God's help, I will serve the Lord. Amen. If you can say that, you've repented. Earnestness for a cleared name. There's a whole bunch of people that burned a lot of bridges and did a bad thing and had a bad reputation and maybe didn't do right before. But when you live right before God, God will clear your name. Amen. Indignation. How about righteous anger? The new Christian often experiences an anger at himself. Oh, the years that were wasted when I turned from God. He experiences an urgent concern for his family members, for his friends. And he wants also for them to find what he found in Jesus. How about an alarm? Alarm bells go off. There's fear that comes. After he comes to God, he begins to realize that his family and his friends will also perish and spend eternity in hell. And the alarm goes off over the possibility that it creates a desire within him to reach out to his lost loved ones. Yes, there's fear. Yes, there's alarm. Vehement desire, a passionate desire to see in the new Christians a prayer life. Having learned that the Spirit of God is near, that he can be touched through prayer. And that's why Christians, new Christians, old Christians, all Christians pray. Amen. How about revenge, readiness to see justice done? They view Satan as the enemy of your soul, and they refuse to allow him to contaminate their worship or their fellowship. They recognize the danger of allowing sinners to practice their sin under the auspices of truth. Tell you what, when you are living for God, unrighteousness will stand out like a sore thumb. God will lead you in paths of righteousness. But we got to go beyond, and I'm getting ready to close, singers, would you come? Repentance is how you start. It's not the end. It's the start of a wonderful relationship with God. But you got to go beyond the first step. That wonderful verse of scripture that is behind me on that sign, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. The path to salvation is held in a single verse. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Salvation is so simple, it's found in one verse of Scripture. Amen. Water baptism. Well, repentance, what I'm preaching today, is how you start. But it doesn't stop there. It begins there. And then there is baptism. in the name of Jesus Christ. And I plugged those heaters in yesterday, so I'm reasonably certain. I didn't check it, but I'm pretty sure that water is quite warm by now. It's inviting. There's baptismal robes and a cabinet in the other room. You could be baptized today and have your sins washed away. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. It is for the remission, the payment of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's the beginning of a brand new life in Jesus Christ. It's how we start our walk in relationship with God. Amen. Living a life of separation and separation from the world and from sin, that's a process. That's God is going to help me to live right. God is going to help me to think right. God is going to forgive me of my sin. Yes, He's washed away my sin when I'm baptized. He fills me with His Spirit. It's not scary. In fact, it's wonderful. And I have seen literally many hundreds of people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And every single time, it's a happy occasion. It's a joyous event. Amen. Would you stand with me? In the conclusion right here of this service, I tell you, let's see if we can get God to rejoice a little bit in heaven when one person repents, asks God to forgive them of their sins. Would you lift your hands with me? This altar is open. Why don't we come and let's worship the Lord together for just a little while. Come on up and let's close this service in the last few moments and lift our hands and magnify God. Every one of us can ask God to forgive you. Every one of us can repent of our sins. Every one of us can use God in our lives. Let's worship the Lord together. Let's magnify God. Worship Him right now. Lord, I love You, Jesus. I praise You.